Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
More than 3,000 refugees, including hundreds of children, have been detained on the Papua New Guinea island of Manus and the nearby island nation of Nauru since 2013. That's when the Australian government decided to block asylum seekers from landing on its shores. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison described the policy this weekend when he announced that the last children had, quote, their bags packed to leave Nauru.
It's been a really tough job. This is an important milestone, but our policies are working, and at the end of the day, they've always been focused on people. That's why we wanted to stop the boats. That's why we want to keep them stopped and ensure that having now fixed the system, we don't ever see it broken again.
But human rights organizations have called the policies inhumane. And one legal advocacy group in Australia has filed suit against the government there, saying the detention centers on Nauru and Manus amount to torture and crimes against humanity. For now, the last children are leaving Nauru and set to arrive in the U.S. That's part of a deal brokered between Australia and the Obama administration to accept up to 1,250 refugees in the U.S. Benjamin Windsor is co-founder of Australian Diaspora Steps Up, a grassroots refugee aid organization based here in the United States. He joins me in the studio. Ben, welcome to The Takeaway.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
So can you start by telling us a little bit about Nauru to bring us up to speed on how people who were trying to get to Australia from whatever country they were from and escaping from, how they ended up on this tiny island nation in the Pacific?
It was the Australian government's solution to the challenge that the country was facing with people getting on boats and coming to mainland Australia to seek asylum. Often those boats were overcrowded, they weren't seaworthy, and more than 1,000 people died making that journey. And there was also a sense in Australia, I think fueled by some politicians, that Australia had lost control of its borders. Sound familiar?
Yes.
and so it was actually a centre-left government that brought this policy in its most recent iteration, which was to say that if you come to Australia by boat, you won't be resettled in Australia. And the idea of that was to act as a deterrence. But there was some time in that message getting out. Thousands of people still arrived, and they wanted to hold firm to that commitment. So they detained the arrivals first in Australia, and then had to find, or felt that they had to find, a third country for resettlement. And so they sent thousands of them to Manus Island and to Nauru, which Manus Island is part of Papua New Guinea. Nauru is a tiny, tiny island nation of about 10,000 people in the Pacific, which Australia supports heavily with aid funding. And so they were able to get an agreement to send people to those two countries.
And they basically put them on a boat and sent them to these islands. And this was several years ago now.
Yeah, this was in about 2013. So they've been there for 5 years, the ones that are there. And there are still, although all the children are off of Nauru, there are still up to, I think, 1,200 split between both countries. Australia built detention centres there. There were some detention centres there previously from an earlier version of this policy that the government had. And they've been languishing there ever since. The conditions there are really quite appalling. There were leaks a few years ago which detailed incident reports of child sexual abuse, of rapes, of assaults carried out by both the staff who were working at these detention centres, by fellow refugees and by locals on the island as well. The locals on Manus Island and on Nauru are very hostile towards the refugees for the most part. Some are accepting and friends with them, but there is an issue with violence and theft and that kind of thing targeting the refugees in these locations. So it's not a great ride.
And they're living in detention centers? They're living in tents?
Yeah, so they were living in detention centers up until 2015 when there were legal challenges. And so the Australian government was forced in Manus to sort of open up the detention center and chose to on Nauru shortly afterwards. I guess they thought they were in a losing position legally to open it up. But that hasn't made too much of a difference because they're still stuck on an island.
So President Trump has called this policy that was brokered by President Obama the, quote, dumb deal. Mm-hmm. He railed against it to the Australian Prime Minister. But then he has apparently agreed to go along with the plan to take in these refugees, and they've been actually coming to the U.S. And now the last four of the children on this island have come here. Are they coming with their families to a particular place in the U.S., and what's their experience once they get here?
When the refugees are arriving in America, they're not being sent to a particular location. They're being spread out to all the refugee resettlement locations across America. So from Texas to Illinois to upstate New York to New Jersey to California, they're being sent to cities everywhere, which can be quite difficult in cases where friends on the island have made strong friendships and then are separated and in quite remote places, sometimes alone. So we have a single refugee up in Buffalo who's alone and a single refugee in Rochester who's alone, and that's been a quite isolating experience for them. When the refugees do arrive, they have 3 months of resettlement support by American-based resettlement agencies, which is pretty basic. And at the moment, we're experiencing a pretty significant crisis in refugee resettlement in America. Because the numbers have been slashed so much, so has the funding for these resettlement organizations. So the resettlement support that they're receiving is really quite basic. Sometimes they feel that they're just kind of picked up in an airport and dropped in an empty room and abandoned.
Wow. And you described their isolation here in the country. They come from all over, right? I mean, obviously they were planted on this island, but they're originally from where?
So we've got a lot of Rohingya refugees from Burma, a few from Pakistan who have been targeted by the Taliban who ran from that. And then others from across the region. There are a couple who have come to America from Iran, but the Trump administration's travel ban on majority Muslim countries has affected the deal quite a lot. Many of the men who are stuck still on Manus and many of the people who are stuck on Nauru, men and women, have been blocked by the travel ban because they originally come from Iran.
Is there any irony at all to the fact that the U.S. is taking in refugees that have fared so badly after being rejected by another developed country, just as the U.S. is also accepting historically low numbers of refugees and the president is railing against migrants? Does it feel strange that this country is stepping up where Australia has refused to act?
If there is any irony, it's certainly not one that the refugees themselves see. One of the things I speak to refugees when they've arrived and I talk to them, and one of the things I used to do is ask, what do you think of President Trump?
Right.
And all they will say is, we thank him. We really appreciate him. He's a great man. He let the deal come through. He didn't break America's word with Australia. And we have freedom and we have chance at a new life. And that's thanks to the administration not welshing on that deal. Maybe as they spend a bit longer in America and kind of realize the political situation over here, that view will become more nuanced. But for them, from their perspective, it's something that they're very welcome. And these refugees just really want to get on with their lives.
Ben Windsor is the co-founder of the group Australian Diaspora Steps Up. Ben, thank you so much.
Thank you. No worries.